And I'm going to start the broadcast. Because it's...
Hello!
Give me a...
He's so excited.
I know. He jumps the gun. Oh, now we're live.
We're live?
Yeah.
Guys, say hello to the internet.
Yes.
Yes.
The internet missed you.
This is just for you. I'm right here in your left ear. I love you, internet. Hello. How are you doing?
I feel dirty.
I think Weird and the internet need some private time together.
Oh, Weird and the internet have some private time pretty often.
Oh, dear. So how are you tonight, everybody?
I'm good.
Yeah? Are you cold up there?
Yes.
Yeah, me too. We went to the grocery store this evening, and it was like from the car to the store, it was like your face was going to fall off. It was so cold. Seriously cold.
And today happens to be the day where the Greenpeace dropped that Santa Claus is canceling Christmas because the North Pole is melting. And I'm like, you ass. I mean, number one, they're assholes because, all right, look, have your little guilty little, you know, cult. Where, oh, we killed the whole world. But, I mean, they're not going to do anything about it. Google the Geritol solution. It was something dreamed up in the mid-90s by some marine ecologists who figured out a way to fix a shitload of carbon into the ocean. And therefore, if global warming was real, reverse it using pennies. And... no one's even bothered throwing any money at it. They've thrown a whole lot more money at giving grants to people to do experiments to show how much the world is warming instead of creating sea life in the ocean by adding iron to several ocean deserts on the equator.
Well, that's because the global warming crisis is not about global warming. It's about control and, you know, putting the right people in charge.
And the people at the core of it who aren't part of the whole, oh, we can pass these bills, oh, we can crush this industry, we can do this horrible shit. Because not everybody's, you know, in the quote unquote smoke filled rooms. The true believers, on the other hand, they don't really give a shit about fixing the environment. They just want to feel bad about stuff.
Yep.
We're killing the world. Santa's canceling Christmas.
Yeah.
And I want my kids to feel just as horrible as I do because I'm an asshole.
300 years ago, they would have been religious fanatics.
And you're saying
that's a good
point. Religious fanatics?
Well, they are, but I mean, they would have been, you know.
That's an excellent point. They'd be the guys out there with the hair shirts and the.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Self-flagellation.
Yep.
Yeah. That's a good point.
The creepy weirdos that even the religious people don't want to have anything to do with.
Right.
The hermits living in dirt and, you know, all those kind of weirdos.
Oh, I just posted a 2001 article. Is it 2001? Yeah. January 8th, 2001, talking about the Geritol solution to stem global warming.
Yeah.
Okay.
All you have to do is cause an algae bloom.
That's the whole point. You create an algae bloom, and then it will attract fish and crustaceans and things like that.
Yep.
They will eat them. Bigger things may come and eat those. No matter what, in the end, it'll all get turned into poop, and the poop will sink down to the bottom of the ocean.
Right.
As complex carbon atoms, and will stay there, not forever, but probably at least 100 years.
Well,
and ta-da, the world is saved and we don't give a shit.
Well, here's the thing about, and this is not supposed to be the global warming show, but since it's been brought up, if you look at history, it's obvious that the level of CO2 in the atmosphere has been as much as 300 times higher than it is now, you know, millions of years ago.
Dinosaurs.
And there was life. And it's been a lot warmer than it is now by, you know, a lot. I mean,
it's been a lot warmer within like human history, like recorded history. When was the last when Greenland was?
Oh, yeah.
Growing grapes.
They grew grapes in England.
Yeah. Mike says 1,200. All I'm right. going with Mike.
There you go.
It was Nova Scotia, which Leif Erikson called Vineland because of the
grapes. Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
There you go.
So anyway, this is the Squirrel Report, everybody.
Hi.
Let's play some music and get this puppy, get this show on the road. And it's Thursday, December 12th, 2013. Only one more show to go this year.
What? Just
one more show after this one. Well, maybe two. If we decide to do one the day after Christmas, there'll be two more shows after this one.
I'm not doing anything the day after Christmas.
Like I said, only one more show after this.
Triskaidekaphobes breathe a sigh of relief.
Yes. In case you didn't know, I'm Alan. We also have Brita and Weird.
No, you don't. My name is JG.
No, it's not.
We used to have JG.
Yes.
Anyway.
The good old days.
Yeah.
So, we actually had some topics, and then another topic came along that was kind of better.
Not better, but interesting, I think.
I think it was better.
And let me segue to note that for those of you who are hearing impaired, this is all being done. There's sign language and closed captioning done by the dirtiest hobo at Brita's library.
Oh, God.
Snotman is right now signing his little heart's content.
Everything
that we are saying.
Oh, God.
And it's mostly ball sack and cigarette is what he's signing.
The other day had to come up and tell me about the weather in Texas. He's obsessed with weather and iridium flares, but that's a whole separate thing. But, yeah, he had to come up and tell me about how it was so cold in Texas. I was like, yes, it's winter.
Yeah.
What are iridium flares?
I don't know. I
looked it up. Iridium flares are these things you see in the sky, and they're very brief, and apparently it's the sunlight glinting off a satellite, but you can see it through the atmosphere.
Yep, I've seen one.
Yeah, during the day, and there's like all these, of course, you know, conspiracy theories about iridium flares and whatnot, so... That's what Snotman comes into the library.
Oh, it's named after the iridium satellites that are up there in low Earth orbit. Yep. Okay.
That's what I was wondering about. Is like, yeah, because there's at the camp I go to up in Vermont, one of the guys there is into cool astronomy. I don't know if he does a whole lot of anything in deep. He just likes any of those ones where you get to see man-made things. You know, in space, and
right.
dragged me out to fields in the middle of the night to see stuff, and I won't lie, it's pretty cool.
The reason these things show up is because they're covered in silicon solar panels,
yeah,
all the way around. So, well, there you go.
And the solar panels are fucking huge, so yeah, when it catches the sun just the right way, yeah it's gonna be pretty bright.
All right. I bet you that's got something to do with the chemtrails, right, Brita?
Chemtrails. Oh, God.
The iridium flares activate the chemtrails.
Don't forget the lizard Illuminati.
I try not to, like, engage too much with him.
Oh, Brita, you laugh now, but wait until you're imprisoned underneath the Denver airport.
Obviously, it's obvious to anybody that with half a brain that Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi are lizard people.
They fucking are.
Well...
Okay, so anyway.
Can we talk about the sign language guy? Because this is flipping, like, this has been like the discussion of the day in the Weird household, because...
Before we do that, can we just announce the call-in topic tonight?
Sure.
Yes.
Go for it, Alan. It was your topic.
Okay, the call-in topic, since this is, in fact, the season for... those sappy Christmas shows that everybody secretly loves. Actually, I got this idea because I was reading a thing about how they made the Charlie Brown Christmas special, and how the they didn't get it ready to go until like a week before it was supposed to air, and the TV execs hated it and said, "Oh, this is crap." But we got to run it because we don't have anything else. So they ran it, and it was like one of the most popular things ever. So anyway, call-in topic tonight is, what is your favorite sappy, cheesy, whatever Christmas?
Pick me.
Your guilty pleasure Christmas show / movie / video thing.
Pick me.
Okay, Weird. What is it?
Weird.
Die Hard. You
no,
didn't read the blog
die
post.
Die Hard.
Besides, I specifically said, besides Die
Hard. Okay. Lethal Weapon.
First of all, let me ask, how is Die Hard sappy?
Well, it's not.
Okay. The sappy one then. How about A Long Kiss Goodnight? Okay. We're going to get down this way. My favorite one is Santa Claus versus the Martians.
Okay.
It's Japanese, and it is shit, and I love it.
I bet you it's on Netflix, right alongside Zombies versus Strippers.
Anyway, call in. Tell us. I guess I should turn the phones on, huh? Yeah, call in and 214-530-0036. That number again, 214-530-0036. Operators are standing by.
Your call is important to us.
That's right.
Your call will be answered in the order in which it's received.
Maybe. I can't guarantee. Actually, I can't guarantee that because the calls all go into a queue, and it's kind of random after that. So,
do we? We need to have like really, really garbly hold music.
We have better customer service than Obamacare.
We have the show streaming hold music if it actually works. Hey, we have a caller.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It's your buddy, the gun enthusiast. Hello.
Hello.
You're not allowed to say Die Hard.
I know. I wouldn't have said it anyways.
But it's such a good movie.
Well,
yeah,
it is
a good movie.
But
my favorite esoteric Christmas-related movie, most people haven't even seen it. It's called In Bruges.
I love that movie. In Bruges.
It makes me want to go.
It's on Netflix. I need to see this.
It's really good.
It is really, really good. And it's going to make you want to go and visit that place.
It's
even though it's about hitmen and it's like an action weirdness. I mean, the plot is really whacked. But
yes. It's not a feel-good Christmas movie, really.
No, it's not really.
Well, I don't know. Maybe it kind of is at the end. It is good. It's a good movie. I liked it a lot.
All right.
Yeah,
I'm in.
and it's very well done. And who's the guy that stars in it? Mad-Eye Moody and
Colin Farrell.
It's not Ralph Fiennes. It's Colin Farrell.
I thought it was
Irish. Colin Farrell.
No, Irish guy, Colin Farrell.
Okay.
Brendan Gleeson. Ralph Fiennes is in it, but I don't
Ralph
think
Fiennes
he's
is in it.
He's not one of the main star.
He's
people.
British. He doesn't say Ralph. They say it funny.
Whatever.
I don't know why. But okay, it's Ralph Fiennes in Bruges.
And it's streaming on Netflix right now. If you.
In Bruges, it's really good.
Yeah, it's really good, and so it's way better than Die Hard.
Okay, now it's on like Donkey Kong.
You know, it's very, very well filmed. The cinematography and the casting and the acting, and it's all really good.
Cool.
And it was a real surprise for me because I didn't know anything about it when I saw it. So I loved it even more. You know how you go in with no expectations and then get impressed. Now I'm getting your expectations up, and you're going to hate it. So
that sounds like that. What was that movie you told me about last week, Brita? The one that nobody ever heard of?
What?
The movie that was on Netflix. About the Irish monster.
Irish monster thing. What is it called?
crap, I can't remember now.
Oh,
the People versus George Lucas.
No.
It was awesome.
It was like an Irish monster movie and filmed in Ireland by Irish people, and it was kind of like, it was, oh, shit.
Troll Hunter.
Yeah, it was like a zombie flick or something.
No.
It had something to do with tentacles.
It was an alien monster. It was an alien tentacle monster. And,
in Ireland. It was yes. great. Shit.
Yeah, I remember seeing the link on Facebook.
And,
Oh, is that like the
Grabbers. Yes, that was great.
Grabbers.
It was great.
Actually, I've heard good things about that one too.
And the only defense against these alien monsters was to get shit faced drunk.
It's such an Irish movie. What are we gonna do? You know, we have a wedding, we have a wake, we have tentacle monsters. Get drunk. You know, it's so Irish. It was just hilarious.
It's Ireland somewhere.
Yeah, totally.
Sounds like I got something to watch this weekend.
Yep. Yeah, it was good. You'll like it.
Yep.
But no Christmas?
No, there's no Christmas, but, you know, who cares? Tentacle monsters.
Yep.
Okay.
Thanks for calling.
All right. We'll talk to you later. Bye.
We got more callers, so you just want to take callers and...
Well, we have to take callers.
I know.
It's a call-in show.
We have to talk about the sign language guy, though.
Yes, we'll get
this
to the sign language guy.
This is area code 513. Hello.
Hi, it's Aaron.
Hi, Aaron.
Hi.
Hey, just calling to wish you guys all a Merry Christmas from the Cheatums.
Thank you.
Nice.
Tommy said he can't listen anymore because he has to work fucking shift.
It's on iTunes.
He's like... I miss it, but we streamed it in, catch up, but, I'm here tonight, so, yay. But on the topic, our favorite Christmas movie, I'm really probably dating myself here, but Ernest Saves Christmas.
Aw, I've
it's
actually never
Christmas
seen that.
Not Christmas without watching Ernest Saves Christmas.
I've seen that one. It's pretty good.
I've never seen it.
Ernest P. Worrell.
Yeah.
The late, great Jim Varney.
Yep.
Can't go wrong there.
Yep, that's a classic. But don't date yourself.
Anyway.
That's just weird.
I don't know if I saw that one. I know I saw Ernest Scared Stupid, and that one was pretty good. That was the hell.
Yeah, all the Ernest movies were pretty good. Some of them were a little campy. Yeah.
Well, I will put it on the list.
I'm sure it'll be on it somewhere sometime.
I'm sure.
It's that time of year. Thanks for calling.
All right. Well, I'll let you get to other callers. You guys have a Merry Christmas.
You too.
Merry Bye. Christmas, Aaron.
Yay.
Aaron's so cute. Okay.
We have, this is from some cell phone in Kentucky. That's all I see.
Oh, no.
You're on the air. Hello. Caller.
Hello.
Ah,
roadkill. It's roadkill.
It is roadkill.
Yay. Yep.
So how are you guys doing tonight?
We're good. What's your favorite Christmas movie?
Well, I hope some people remember this, but it's The Ref with Dennis Leary.
Oh, I remember that one. That was awesome.
Yeah, that is good. Yeah. Dennis Leary's got more range than people give him credit for.
That's the one where he like died on the road and then came back and with the fancy car or something.
The criminal who gets home from his house, he takes them hostage and he pretends to be a marriage counselor.
Oh, that one! I was thinking of a different movie.
Harpy bitch, Senator Feinstein, grandmother is there and she's horrible. Literally horrible.
Say that and title again.
The Ref.
Oh, The Ref. I thought you were talking about a different movie.
You were thinking of Suicide Kings.
No, I was thinking of The Wraith.
Or The Suicide Kings, also starring Dennis Leary.
I don't think Dennis Leary was in The Wraith. Anyway. So The Ref.
Christopher Walken was in The Suicide Kings.
Yeah, The Ref was pretty good. I remember that one.
That was a good movie.
Dennis Leary.
Yeah, I always remember that. He ain't dead, lady. He's in hiding. and the wonderful ranty, stuff that Leary goes off on is really wonderful. Talking about how he's going to shoot somebody's testicles. out of a cannon and then go pick them up, pieces, and set them on fire, and all this great stuff. The old Leary Ranch, really good. Like the old asshole song. I'm an asshole, asshole, asshole.
Yeah, that's back before politically correct got really rampant. Back when you could actually offend people still. Remember the good old days when you could offend people?
Yeah, those were nice days.
Yep.
You could still do it now, but then the social justice warriors come after you.
Yep.
You just have to...
Speaking of offending people, you know, one of my very favorite Christmas movies, which is kind of, well, I guess it is a Christmas movie, technically, Bad Santa.
Yes.
I love that movie.
I love that movie for just Lauren Graham and what's his name in the car.
Okay. Yes. But it's a surprising role for Lauren Graham because, you know, she was that cutesy thing in that. What's that show?
Gilmore Girls.
Gilmore Girls. She was very cute and very wholesome and lovely in Gilmore Girls. And then Bad Santa happens, and there she is in the car with Billy Bob Thornton.
Dirty girl.
Wonderful. Wonderful, funny movie. Redemption at the end. Really good.
Yep. So. It is good, though, because I find Billy Bob Thornton to be, like, literally hit or miss. Like,
no, it's good. He's
when
good.
When he hits, he smacks it out of the park, and when he misses, holy shit.
No, Bad Santa's good.
Yeah, it really is.
Definitely worth watching if you've never seen it, especially if you've never seen it. It's worth
and
it.
C90's got another mention to Santa Claus versus the Martians.
Roadkill, have you seen Bad Santa?
He hung up.
Oh, he hung up.
Yeah.
Damn it,
Roadkill's seen Santa Claus versus the Martians because Japan.
Lost the Roadkill. Yeah, the ref was a good, I remember that one.
I have not seen the ref.
Yeah,
I've never even heard of the ref as a Christmas movie before. We do have to make a list, though, of movies.
Somebody write it.
Yeah, we're even better. We're making a recording.
And we got another call from Fairfield, Texas. Or at least that's what it says.
Fairfield, Texas?
That's what it says on the caller ID.
They're all spicy miles. But anyway, hello, everybody. It's Jason.
Hey, Jason.
I actually have two movies. One is my favorite Christmas movie, and the other one is a Christmas movie that's so bad that you actually kind of want to watch it. First one, probably for me, the best Christmas movie of all is Scrooged with Bill Murray.
Oh, watch that the other night. Oh, that's a good one.
That the part with him and Carol Kane, that is probably comedy gold right there.
I still like Buster Poindexter.
Yes. Yeah, that's good too. And then the movie that's so bad that I actually kind of enjoy watching it. Have any of y'all seen A Smoky Mountain Christmas with Dolly Parton and Lee Majors?
No.
Wow. That sounds horrible.
Somebody decided to say, hey, why don't we, for a Christmas movie, why don't we take the Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, stick it in the middle of the Ozarks, the Appalachian Mountains, and let's just throw Dolly Parton in it, because by golly, who doesn't want to watch Dolly Parton?
She's cute.
Yeah, it's one of those things that it probably would be a lot more entertaining drunk, but since I have to go to my mom and dad's house to watch it, I can't do that. So I just have to sit through it sober. But if you get a chance, watch it. It's so bad that it's hilarious. It actually gives Santa Claus versus the Martians a run for its money.
Wow.
So... But anyway, I hope y'all have a wonderful holiday season, and I will guess I'll catch you next year.
Hey, thanks for calling.
Thank you.
All right.
Oh, by the way, that reminds me, and I got to give a shout out to Vector, who's listening to this on Friday the 13th as he drives to work, because that's when he listens. He has, and this one, I would say, I'm not so sure if it's so bad it's good, because it's fucking horrible. But it's important for everyone to watch it as much as possible, because George Lucas doesn't want to admit that it ever existed, is the Star Wars Christmas special.
Oh, my God.
Oh.
What the fuck? Oh, man. Yeah. It is literally, it is, if you've never taken acid and had a bad trip, that's what the experience is like. It's just the, oh, this is good. This is happening. This is, oh, no, it's getting awful. Please make it stop.
Oh, no, no, no.
Yeah. Yeah, especially when you get to, like, the Wookiee scene where they're just all talking in Wookiee. There's no subtitles.
Yeah, you know. Oh. The Lucas just, I think after Empire Strikes Back, I think Lucas just gave up.
Yep.
He just completely sold out.
And on top of that, you've got Carrie Fisher, who is in the depths of mental illness and substance abuse.
Yeah, that too.
Oh boy, is she in fucking deep shit in that movie. Wow.
Yep. We got another caller.
Okay. We had topics.
I know.
Okay.
Hello, you're on the air.
Cocaine!
Hello?
Hello?
Hey, who's on the air?
You are.
You?
This is Borpatch.
Hey, Borpatch.
Hi.
I know that dude.
Hi. Merry Christmas to everybody. Or I'm sure that I'm a hater for not using the approved politically correct thing. I remember around our house, I have to watch a lot of movies with the family because, like, when you get a chance to watch it, you watch whatever they're watching. And one of the most terrible Christmas movies that I remember, it wasn't all that long ago, was Vince Vaughn thing, Fred Claus.
Oh, that was pretty bad.
I remember that one.
Funny brother. I mean, you asked for just the craptacular stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty bad.
That thing. All that needed to improve it was the little three Mystery Science Theater guys sitting down at the front watching it and eyes cracking. But yeah, that one was pretty horrible. And Jay, welcome back to the United States of America.
Hooray for Jay. Yeah. They just today they just swore Catherine Clark, who is an unbelievable moonbat in for the House of Representatives for Massachusetts.
And I'm going to
say, be sorry for me, but be very, very pleased for Jay, who just scooted right out of that. Say whatever you will about the new governor of Virginia. Yeah, he's better off.
Hey, Jay. The magic words when you're talking to somebody from Virginia and they know you're a Yankee, you tell them, when God made me born a Yankee, he was teasing. So, Merry Christmas, everybody.
Thanks for calling.
I just want to do a little quick shout out. This was the movie of my childhood that just, I don't know. I just loved it when I was a kid. It was Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas.
Oh, love it.
Oh, yeah. I remember that one.
Yeah. Just wonderful.
I especially love the fish.
Yes.
The heavy metal fish. Love them.
Yes. It's a really good movie. And it's based on that O. Henry story where, well, I'll let y'all watch it. It's very sweet. So.
I've seen it.
That's Emmett Otter. Mm-hmm.
Well, it is. It's a gift of the Magi.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a classic.
Basically, that's basically the story. Yeah.
Yep.
So, anyway, weird. Talk about the sign language guy.
Oh my God! All right. So while Nelson Mandela, he is dead.
Yay!
And and I, like many Americans, really don't give a shit. Sorry, guys. Sorry, South. I'm sure it's very important to you if you're South African. I'm not. That's the end of that. But I get the fact that lots of heads of states came to pay their respect, and I'm very, very cool with that. And I think that's wonderful, and I think that's good. And while they were there, there was a gentleman that was kindly signing for those who were hearing impaired. The only problem was, instead of being someone who is fluent in one of the many different dialects of sign language, this guy was a self-described violent psychotic.
And I hadn't heard that. Okay.
Yeah, they tracked him down and said, "What's going on?" And he is self-described schizophrenic and has violent episodes, and was saying that he was hallucinating and angels were descending upon him and war machines were destroying the place and he was in great danger. And he was standing right beside many of the heads of state.
Waving his arms around.
Various nations, waving his arms and constantly giving the gesture for the sign language word cigarette.
You know, was he
like somebody's brother-in-law who needed a job or something?
They don't know who the fuck he is or how he got here.
He just appeared saying, "I'm the sign language interpreter"?
He got sent in by some independent agency. He's evidently done sign language before. No word of whether or not he was, you know, doing jive turkey for those funerals or not. But he's a complete and utter crazy person.
And if you watch the video, it's obvious that he's not doing anything real sign language, because his repertoire of signs is not really that great. And he repeats the same one for completely different words and concepts that have nothing to do with each other.
And also another thing, if you watch people doing sign language, I've learned all this from Dirty Signs with Kristen YouTube channel.
Yes.
Because you need to know how to say, "I want to tongue punch your fart box."
That's right.
In American Sign Language.
Very important.
They don't have a sign for every word on the fucking planet. So
no,
they often have to stop and spell out a word.
Yeah.
So they're busy. The real ones are busy sons of bitches. This guy would just wiggle his arms for a little bit and wait for the next moment.
Yeah.
And it's just, I mean, it's obvious that it's BS. And then on top of that, I've heard a bunch of interviews from people that actually know how to sign and are talking about the fact that he's not using like punctuation. And there's a few odds and ends that are a standard issue for all the various dialects of sign language. And he's just, it was just complete jive.
Well, I was just thinking that, you know, people were comparing this guy's sign language to American Sign Language, which is completely different than other sign languages in the world. And I just figured, well, this is South African Sign Language. It's just as fucked up as the rest of the country.
And no, it's not.
Yeah, well.
Nope. And yeah, and he just got right in there and he got to stand beside all of these people. And I mean, it's just amazing. And and people might say, "Oh, South Africa's a totally fucked up, you know, third world nation and all that." And I'm like, yeah, try to imagine this. If someone told you that this happened in America, tell me you wouldn't believe it.
I just put a link in the chat. You'll think you're going to love weird. This Sanchez is not clean. This Sanchez is very dirty.
Oh, no. Oh,
I love Kristen. She's so cute.
She is adorable.
I especially like when she's disgusted by what she has to sign. Where she gets a little judgy first, then she does the sign.
Yeah, she's resigned. But she does the little yay at the end. She's, I know. Very, it's great. Cute.
Oh, my goodness.
Twat waffle. Yay.
Yep. I still like tongue punch your fart box, and I can sign it for you.
Yep.
I'm very good at that one.
Okay.
I was just amazed by that. And of course there's other, you know, shenanigans that went on.
Yeah. Like
if you guys want to take it away.
Well, no. Obama was being Obama, you know, and the whole, there was this whole thing. It went viral all over the internet yesterday. Was it yesterday or the day before? I don't know. Whatever. But apparently Obama was taking selfies, you know, with other heads of state and at a funeral, basically. And apparently this memorial service funeral thing was 4 hours long. My problem, and people are like, well, it's such a long thing and blah, blah, blah. We have a president who cannot control himself for 4 hours in front of cameras. Okay.
Yep. Yeah, it's not like he didn't know anybody was going to be watching him.
Right. I know. And...
Well, no, he knew people were going to watch him. He just thought, you know, people were going to be, you know, sniffing his ass and telling him his shit smells like warm apple.
Well, that's what I think. That's what I thought. I saw this thing, and I didn't know who the blonde woman was to begin with. And I was like, oh, that is such a setup. I was like, that would be the perfect setup. Go up to Obama and be like, oh, my God, Barack Obama. Oh, you're the president of the United States. Oh, you're so famous. Oh, can I have a selfie with you? Bam. You know, he would totally do it because he's such a narcissist. Perfect setup to make him look bad. And the best thing was it wasn't even a setup. They were all three narcissists there in a row taking selfies of themselves.
David Cameron and whoever the hell the God Emperor of Denmark is.
Denmark. Yeah, I know. It's just like, it's like high school. Like, these people are in high school. They're like the popular kids in high school. Let's take selfies of ourselves. At Nelson Mandela's funeral. It's like... It's crass and bizarre to me. I don't even know.
Yeah. I mean, there's also people, a lot of people are making a big thing about the shaking hands with Raul Castro. And I got to say, I saw the video of it and I'm like, yeah, not a big deal. What's he going to do? You know, just brush
snub
past
him
or put his hands up in the middle of Nelson Mandela's funeral? No. Yeah. Do exactly what he did. He gave him a quick shake of the hand, a little nod of the head, saying, yep, how you doing, buddy?
Yeah, we're both here.
You're the head of a country. I'm the head of a country.
Right.
You know,
he's not the head of the country. He's the head of the executive branch of the government.
Well, you tell him that.
He's not the head of the country.
Yeah, I don't know.
He's the chief executive of the executive branch of the government.
Yes, yes, yes.
And that's all he is.
Okay.
So, I especially, but the part I loved was was Michelle putting him in his place.
She made him switch seats.
She made him switch seats. And then he was all sucking up to her, kissing her hand and trying to be all, you know, I'm sorry, baby, you know, whatever he was doing. Who knows?
Oh man, but yeah, to be put in your place on that. I mean, that's actually pretty bad too. Of just the, I mean, we got Vladimir Putin who's, you know, walking around riding a horse shirtless and all of that, and then we've got you know, Michelle Obama saying no, you need to sit over here and, you know, tuck in your shirt.
It really reminded me of when I would go to church with my parents and my brother when we were little, and my brother and I would sit next to each other and we would antagonize each other and try to get away with it. And then eventually my mom would realize, oh, they're being bad again. And she'd make me switch seats with her.
I have to separate you two.
I have to separate you. Don't make me stop this car.
My first grade teacher was a huge fan of setting up the entire classroom so it was boy, girl, boy, girl.
Ah, uh-huh.
Because girls were gross.
Oh,
it worked great. It worked great, yeah, because that was the point where girls didn't like boys and boys didn't like girls, so no one was going to talk to each other.
Back when girls had cooties.
Sure did. They were huge. I seen them.
Oh, never mind. I won't go there.
Okay, good.
So anyway, I think that's enough about the crazy South African commie's funeral.
Okay.
You want to talk about the nail polish?
Okay. I will talk about the nail polish.
Okay.
And I think this is kind of timely, actually, because people are out, like, Christmas shopping and doing all that stuff.
Yes.
If you are tempted, if you have a woman in your life who likes nail polish, and you're thinking, huh, maybe I should get some nail polish to put in her Christmas stocking or whatnot, do not buy her OPI. There's a brand called OPI. It's very popular. It's one of the top brands of nail polish. And they have come out with a Sandy Hook Green nail lacquer. And they have, I don't know if they've donated the entire, I doubt it.
They're donating something, but I guarantee they're lying.
I doubt it too. Well, OPI has come out with a green nail lacquer, and it's a beautiful green color. But it's to benefit this Sandy Hook Promise group. And this group has been organized by, it's basically a lobbying group. It's anti-gun lobbyists have kind of glommed onto the Sandy Hook tragedy. I know you hate that word, Alan. That's why I'm putting the question. Travesty.
There you go.
Whatever. So, they have created this, Sandy Hook Promise. You can Google it. And they sell items to benefit the, you know, to raise awareness and funds to recover from the Sandy Hook event. And, but what people don't know is that there are two groups. One is a group that, you know, benefits like, psychological care afterwards, you know, helping the families who've lost someone, you know, that sort of thing. But then there's this other group that is an activist group, and they're a lobbying group, and they directly, you know, they take in money and they have hired lobbyists to work on anti-gun legislation.
Make sure to pass laws that have nothing to do with this.
Right, exactly. And it's gotten to the point where even if you go to their website, they're calling for action on let's make it illegal to traffic guns
and make straw purchases.
It's already federally already they're already illegal. Federal crimes. Yeah. You know, so it's but I read nail polish blogs because I love nail polish, and I came across this post and I thought, "Oh, this is just perverse, really." Because they're playing on women love nail polish. Women love children. Women, you know, want to protect children. And it's like this whole playing on the sentimentality. Wear this green to support Sandy Hook. And they don't know where their money's going. But maybe they do. You know, it's a, I don't know. It just bothered me in such a way that, you know, the anti-gun groups are looking at what are women buying the most of lately. And really there has been like this huge surge in nail polish sales because it's one of those things that women splurge on in a down economy. Women will splurge on little purchases like nail polish. So they go and they say, okay, there's women and they're anti-gun and we'll make a nail polish. And the money goes to anti-gun lobbyists. So everybody boycott OPI. I'm never buying OPI again. I don't anyway because their nail polish is kind of boring. But there you go. There's the nail polish report. Thanks, everybody.
Yeah. Well, I looked after you sent me that link. I looked at the, you know, the other Open Secrets thing, and they spent $130,000 on. I didn't see anywhere where it said like how much money they brought in versus how much they paid and
right.
stuff like that. And I don't know, the whole thing just seems kind of scammy to me. You know, it sounds like one of those things. Okay. For instance, it's kind of like, remember, this Wounded Warrior thing, right? And when it first started up, everybody was like, oh, yeah, Wounded Warrior, give money, you know, veterans and all that kind of stuff. And it turns out that it's really...
Everybody's making fun of me in the chat. But, you know, if people are boycotting Starbucks because of guns, why can't you boycott nail polish because of guns?
I agree.
Especially when, I mean, it's most things that do the... I mean, like, let's turn the complete opposite. And Smith & Wesson has... you can buy a bunch of different Smith & Wesson guns with pink handles.
Right.
And they say, I think it's like, you know, 20% or something like that gets cut off the top and gets donated to to a breast cancer group. And I forget which breast cancer group it is, but I mean, it's all written out on on their website and the page, and I'd load it, but their website's a piece of shit and it takes forever to load. We don't have all night, but still, it says right out front, and there's a million other companies that do various things to benefit charities, and it says, you know, either all the profits or this percentage of the profits or this percentage off the top, or every time we do this, we're going to buy one of these, or you buy one of these, we're going to buy one and send it to a soldier. They're very, very clear about how they work. Right. And, you know, and even that can be a little bit shady, because it's one of those, you know, there's so many charities out there where they say, you know, oh, you know, your money goes directly to our charity, and, you know, 60% of it gets, you know, pays the secretaries and the CFOs, well, you know, and that sort of stuff. And, you know, eventually like a little sliver of it goes, actually gets down there. But normally when a company does this, they're a lot more transparent about how the fuck it works. And these people have nothing.
If you look the board of the directors for the Sandy Hook Promise thing, I don't want to call it a company because it's not, but if you look at the board of the directors, one of the first people is this very well-known journalist who has a long record of being anti-gun. And the whole board of directors is like that. So they are seriously, you know, using the Sandy Hook event to further their, you know, anti-gun legislation.
And again, about the, you know,
and they're playing on people's, you know, emotions about this thing. Nobody likes children getting killed. But they're bringing in big companies. If you go to their website, there's all sorts of things you can buy and things celebrities have donated and signed the pledge, you know, promise to take the Sandy Hook promise and you know, and it's like this, let's all be good parents and talk about mental health and gun safety. Yeah, you're not talking about gun safety. You're talking about anti-gun legislation. That's their agenda.
They'll often say about the U.S. military is we're always fighting the last war in the current war, and we're not going to get around to fighting that war until the next war. You know, it's not going to, you know it's the, you know, we're sending our soldiers into Iraq with, you know, Vietnam style jungle type, you know, equipment sort of idea. And but with the gun lobby, has always been fighting a war that doesn't happen while citing a war that is happening.
So right.
You say
exactly.
Oh, there was you know James Braney was shot with a 6-shot .22 revolver, so therefore we need to ban semi-automatic rifles. Absolutely.
Yes. There's no connection,
you know, yeah. or even better is shot by a man with a .22 revolver that was mentally ill but had never been adjudicated or sought treatment or anything like that. He didn't get committed until after he'd shot all those people. So we need to do things on mentally ill people because it wouldn't have stopped that.
Right. I don't know. It's.
Or even better, going as far back as the NFA. I mean, it's the, oh, these Depression-era gangsters are shooting up cops with machine guns that they stole from the fucking police and the army. So, yeah, no, they're definitely, we're walking into hardware stores and buying a 1919 or buying a BAR. Nope. They stole them.
Well, all I know is that, you know, a bottle of nail polish, this brand nail polish, is usually about $8. But they're charging $26 for this bottle of nail polish.
Oh, so I was wondering about that, and I wanted to ask you about what's the,
yeah,
because I saw the price and I went, Jesus Christ,
yeah, it's $26.
That seems like a
it's
lot
crazy
of money.
Yeah. That is a lot of fucking money.
But yes. At the same time, I have not bought any nail polish. I should because I do need to highlight the sights on some of my revolvers, and nail
right.
polish is fantastic for that.
Well, I just think that. That maybe even companies like OPI just probably don't even know what they're, you know, giving their stuff to. And that's why, you know, boycotts like Starbucks boycotts or whatever, you know, the gun community has been into are so important because I don't even think the companies know what they're doing. They're just saying, oh, well, people love nail polish and they're going to spend $26 on this bottle of nail polish and we'll make this much profit and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, I just learned about this yesterday, so I haven't had like a whole lot of time to research into this thing. But it's a big company.
Yep.
And, you know, women are major consumers of this sort of thing. So,
and I can clarify that they are not saying that they are not making a profit off of this.
No, they're not.
I haven't read that anywhere.
Yeah, exactly. Or, you know, not even, you know, they're not even saying that, oh, they're making a diminished profit off of it like some companies do.
Right.
Nope.
You know, they are just saying some of that money is going to go to this political right. action group.
Right. I mean, they do nail polish collections for like breast cancer and then other things, but they also do nail polish collections like that go along with the new movie that's coming out, like the Pirates of the Caribbean movie or the Muppets movie. They do polish collections for that too. So they just might not even realize, hey, you're infringing on people's rights.
Well, they are based out of California.
Well, true. What do they care?
Yeah.
Yep. But, anyway. That's kind of a bigger issue here is like, I read a story and it just, I was going to blog about it, but it was really just really trite. So I didn't touch it, but like talking about like, oh, the gun lobby groups are, you know, bullying, you know, Newtown. And they're just not even talking about like how much fucking blood dancing is going on, you know, in this town I really feel bad for the people of Newtown, Connecticut, for, you know, on December 14th, that town is going to be just a fucking media shitstorm of a whole bunch of people who do not give a flying, and some of that's going to be pro-gun people, and can you blame it? I mean, it's one of those, it's a tragedy commons, you know. They'll, you know, we're damned if we do, damned if we don't. We'll be damned if we, you know, if we protest in Newtown. And if we don't do anything, they'll be the gun lobby didn't dare say anything, stand up to us. They're cowards.
Yeah.
Well, isn't that woman that's like the front for moms against whatever?
Yep. Moms are against everything.
What's her name? I was reading a thing. Apparently, she's not just some, like, soccer mom. She's a media mogul. Yeah, and not only that, but she's been like, you know, top level PR flack for, you know, like Monsanto and GE Healthcare. I mean, we're talking, you know, VP of corporate communications and stuff like that. She is a big time PR mogul. She's not just some little, you know, soccer mom that just had it. I just couldn't take it anymore and had to do something.
She does this shit for a living.
Exactly.
But she's portraying herself as a little soccer mom.
Sure.
Right.
Of course she is.
There you go.
That's part of the, you know, that's part of the package.
And she's also portraying herself as a victim every time someone, you know.
We're just moms sitting down to have coffee and these gun people show up and, you know, she's playing the media. That's her. I mean, that's her job. It's what she's done for 20 years. I mean, for some really, you know, she did it for Monsanto, for God's sake. That's like the number one liberal, you know, company they love to hate, right? I mean, one of them anyway.
Oh, I definitely say Monsanto. Monsanto beats out any of the gun companies.
Yeah. I mean, come on. It's just,
yeah. But meanwhile, the gun sales in Newtown have gone up since the shooting.
As well as gun permits, which is actually even more so because, I mean, there's gun owners in Connecticut, there's gun owners in every state. I mean, that's kind of a big thing, as a lot of people will point out, is the, you know, people like, you know, I mean, Jay, until just recently, congratulations, Jay, we're residents of Massachusetts, and Jay and I own an ass load of guns. It's a lot. And so, you know, people would say if gun sales go up, oh, they're saying, oh, Jay and I are buying more guns. Well, we're not, because I know Jay and I know me. And I haven't really bought that many guns this year.
You already have them all.
Yeah, pretty much. sort of situation. A bunch of the guns I bought belong to Jay.
The only ones you want are ones you can't afford anyway. So,
yep,
you're not going to buy.
But the bottom line is that there's a new thing about the Massachusetts gun permits are now taking illegally long amounts of time for them to be processed because there's so fucking many of them, and that's been everywhere for the last 10 years now, is that the number of gun permits for carry permits and in the case of Massachusetts and Indiana or Illinois are for ownership have just shot through the roof. That's not people that had 20 guns buying 5 more. No, that's people that have no guns buying 1 or 2
right.
to start their collection.
I never gave my Christmas video.
What is your Christmas video?
My favorite all time. Well, yeah, I think my favorite all time is the one that started it all.
Oh, that's a good one, Alan.
That's a funny one. Spirit of Christmas.
Jesus versus Santa, South Park.
Yeah.
You got a Brita snort.
I know, I did.
Sorry. It's funny.
Hey, Brita, do you know who snorts like that?
What would
who?
Brian Boitano do?
My daughter.
Do?
Oh, good for her.
Does she giggle?
She's a genius.
She's a snort. Well, she doesn't giggle yet. She doesn't. She's like.
Doesn't matter.
She is like days away from giggling, but she's a big snorter.
All right.
She snorts a lot, and specifically, like, she snorts like crazy when she cries. And I keep telling everyone, I hope that this. Oh yeah, she'll go. And then when she gets her breath, she goes.
You need to get video.
Oh my god! I hope that this persists because I want to see like a tweener LaWeirda going, I never asked to be born. Because that would make it worth it.
Well, make sure you get a good recording now so you can play it.
I do need to do that.
Because you'll regret it if you don't.
Yeah, we haven't videotaped her yet. Because we don't really have that much. We haven't really been photographing much. We've been sleeping.
You know who also had a really good Christmas special, which was a yearly thing in our house, was Sesame Street. And also, Bert and Ernie did Gift of the Magi, too.
Yeah, that's a popular one.
Sesame Street Christmas special was really nice. I want to watch it again.
The Muppets.
Yeah.
The Fraggles do a Christmas special?
The who? The Fraggles?
Fraggles.
I don't recall one.
I think at some point everybody does a Christmas special.
Yeah. But I mean, we're talking all Jim Henson Productions, so.
Yep.
Jim Henson was big into Christmas. Because, he was a Christian Scientist, so it killed him.
We have a Christian Scientist church, like, around the corner from us. And it's a beautiful little church, but we always drive by it, picturing them doing, like, science experiments in there. No offense to Christian Scientists.
I will put some offense towards Christian Scientists, because you fucking killed Jim Henson.
Well, there's that. Yeah. Oh, but they do not
I'm
have
sorry,
a
when
giant
you
ki- lab
when you kill Jim Henson,
and-
my live and let live philosophy just disappears.
Kermit. Aww.
That's right. At least you didn't kill Frank Oz.
Yet. Is he dead now?
No, he's still alive.
Oh, you know what? Speaking of Mandela and stuff, going back to the thing, but I learned this week that Fidel Castro still alive.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe that. I was like, wait a minute.
I'm shocked.
Is he still alive?
Or they
yeah, no, that's,
or
that's that is Hugo Chavez that you're thinking about that is
or,
dead.
Or they're telling you.
He's Weekend still alive. At Fidel's.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking. I think he's taxidermied somewhere.
I think he is too. They've done a linen on him.
Yeah. No, it is
Stalin or whoever it is under glass.
If he is, Abe Vigoda is still alive. the T-bolt. There is a website that's Abe Bagoda status.
So and all
it
is, so
it updates like I think like every 5 minutes whether or not Abe Bagoda is.
Oh my god.
Fish.
I think that's the photo they use too. Is a fish photo.
I want to remind everybody that you may want to stock up on sriracha sauce because they're having issues with production in California. I think the company should. I think it's, what is the name of the company? Huifeng or something. They should move to Texas.
I agree.
Yeah, I find it amazing that they're having production problems. When I first heard about when I first heard about that California was strong-arming them, I'm like, oh yeah, that's gonna last 5 seconds. Some other. It's just like every, you know, when the New York Safe Act was coming through, every fucking state in the union was like sending a personalized letter saying what tax benefits they would give for the various New York gun companies if they get the fuck out of Dodge.
Yep.
And a lot of them have. I was amazed to see that they weren't moving to like,
it's like
Texas
the people who,
or North Carolina or South Carolina where.
It's like the people who move in like next door to an airport and they're like, oh, it's too loud. Or a gun range.
Shooting range is a big one.
Don't move next to a shooting range if you don't like the sound.
Well, it's even worse is it's one of those things of just it's required by law to list. I mean, there was a couple of like downright silly things listed on my seller's agreement when I bought my house of just some like downright trivial things of like, you know, they said, oh, you know, we've got to disclose that the street occasionally floods in heavy rainstorms. Okay. And yeah, the street occasionally floods in heavy rainstorms. And you know, there were a few houses that I looked at that were very, very close to my gun club, and they were, you know, they were openly saying there was an active rifle range down the street. And yet these people still fucking complain and do all sorts of fucking jive to try to shut down the gun club. The best one being for, I don't know if it was my gun club, it was a gun club in Massachusetts. The person went to a store and bought a box of 22, dumped it into their hand and threw it up into the rain gutter, and then said that they were being shot at from the gun club. And the police came in and dug out like 10 unfired 22 shells from their rain gutter and went, no, you weren't.
Yeah, people have tried that before. That's not uncommon. Idiots.
Sure are.
Oh, look, we're out of time.
And Abe Bagoda is still alive.
Yay!
But if you are listening to this on iTunes, leave us a 5-star rating. Remember, more hog.
That's right.
And Abe Bagoda may not be alive. And if he isn't, you know what, Abe? I loved you, and look who's talking.
Wow.
Because, come on, I'm just going to totally overlook The Godfather.
I'm checking the iTunes store right now. I'm going to see what our, before we go.
Oh boy! Do we
I'm
going to
see what our ratings are. We have.
Hey,
20...
weird! I no longer have a URL.
That's right. She doesn't.
What your
breedafallacy.com is gone.
Wow.
I'm just cheap. I stopped paying Blogger for the domain name.
That's understandable.
Stuff is still there.
Wait, you have
the internet is forever.
You have to pay Blogger for the domain? Oh, no, because you had the...
It's a URL, yeah.
Yeah.
We have 24 5-star ratings.
Wow. That's like more people than listen every week.
Hey. What's funny is we have only 5-star ratings. We have no...
Yes!
Well, of course.
None at all for 4, 3, 2, or 1. Oh, I love you crazy people.
That's because we offer you weekly rock hard hog.
Oh, and look at a more hog. Great podcast, but you'd probably get more listeners if you had more hog.
Hey, Alan, the people have spoken and they want more hog.
Less hog, more bacon.
Oh, bullshit. I do like bacon, though.
Oh, man. Crazy. All right. Well, we'll be here
next week.
Next week. Probably won't be on the day after Christmas, but
we'll see. We could maybe do a show.
We might. Yeah, we might do a best.
What day is this?
Well, it's the 26th.
Everybody call in and tell us what you got for Christmas.
Yeah, that'd be good. Next week, tell us what good thing you got for Christmas.
I can't be there.
Okay. Well.
We will find a fill-in for you.
As you may or may not know, the show streams live 24/7. The last 10 shows.
It doesn't stream live. It streams canned.
It streams constantly. Okay.
It's not live. We are not here 24/7.
Well, the stream
reiterating
is
what we've said before.
Yes.
The stream's not alive. The stream's a computer.
It's the last 10 shows in rotation.
Okay.
We're not in fucking Tron, Alan.
I forgot to talk about the book club.
Oh, that's right. Talk about the book club.
Damn it.
No, go ahead.
Well, I had an idea. It's not a good
idea. Don't worry.
We're not at station break. I know. I was thinking that maybe we could do a Squirrel Report book club.
Awesome.
Because, you know, we could all read a book a month, right? And we could have a call-in, you know, one show a month. We could have the call-in be about the book. And possibly, you know, if I've already talked to Marco Cluse and he's willing to do a show with us.
Ooh.
And that would be cool.
Oh,
I can't guarantee
this...
anybody else, but, you know, Marco's up for it.
Awesome.
I gotta say, I read the Marco's first book, and
did you like it?
I did like it, but it did not blow me out of the water.
Okay.
But I read his short story, The Measures of Absolution.
Uh huh.
And that did blow me out of the water, and it was one of those like I don't know if I'm going to bother with the next one. Yeah, tough shit. I've got the next one.
His next one's supposed to be much better than the first one.
Yeah, the first one was good. The first one was good.
Yep, but it was obviously a first book too.
Yep, but it was good.
It had that really awesome female character.
Yeah,
awesome.
It did.
It had a bunch of people I know.
Mm-hmm. And maybe Larry Correa. I've interviewed Larry before. Maybe he'd be willing to do it again.
Larry on.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
I was up in Vermont when he was here in Massachusetts.
Yeah.
I wanted to squish him.
Yeah, Larry would be good, too. He's a good one.
Larry Correa needs pap hats.
Well, you know, we...
And you want to talk about someone who consistently blows my skirt up is Larry Correa. And I want to yell at him about the fact that, when the hell is the next book on Dead Six coming out? Because I read the second book and now I need it now!
Yeah.
Oh my god, the ending on that is so fucking good, and I'm just heartbroken.
Yeah, Raddus just mentioned John Ringo's new zombie series, which is also pretty good. He's got two books in that now. John Ringo Zombies. Need I say more? It's good.
I don't really like reading the zombie books.
No, this one's good.
Okay.
It's I'll give you a synopsis. Basically, there's a disease doesn't kill people so much as it makes them mindless, you know, ravenous killing and eating machines. Basically, the entire world crashes, and the only people left alive are some people that happen to be like out on boats when it starts. So you got this like these really great, if you're into like the military fiction, and it's not really military because it's a bunch of civilians and stuff, but you know, civilian military partnership, whatever. But there's lots of, you know, kicking in doors and shooting things and, you know, slicing things up, and it's good.
Maybe we should have it for a book club.
Yeah, it'd be good.
Okay.
There's a whole bunch of stuff we could do for that. I like it. I think it's a great idea.
Come on. We've already gone over. Let's go a little bit more. What are you all currently reading?
Oh, what am I currently reading? I'm currently reading, and I need to pick it up again because I haven't had the time lately, but it's called Cinnamon and Gunpowder, and it's about It's about a pirate queen who captures a chef and, you know, et cetera. A pirate queen!
It's smut, right?
No! No! It
sounds pretty smutty to me.
It is not smutty.
Sounds like a whole lot of fucking on a boat.
Nope. Not at all.
I'm actually reading it, too, on Brita's recommendation, and it's pretty good.
It's fun.
I'm reading John Gardner's James Bond novel, Icebreaker.
Ooh.
Which is really, really neat because I picked it up at one of those library sales. I don't know. How the hell do library sales work anyway, Brita?
Oh, library sales are books that usually get weeded from the collection. They get weeded because they haven't circulated. And so to make more room on the shelf for new stuff, we take the stuff that hasn't circulated off the shelf and we sell it. Or they can be books that have been donated by patrons that are, you know, if Aunt Hilda dies and leaves all of her books, you're like, shit, I don't want Aunt Hilda's books. What do I do with these books? I don't want to throw them out. Give them to the library. We sell them.
Or throw them away.
All I know is
a lot of shit ends up in the dumpster. Let me tell you
Is the soft cover of this book I bought in the early 90s for a quarter from the South Portland Library in Maine.
Aww.
And I read maybe about like the first like 20 or 30 pages on it, and I couldn't follow it. And I'm wondering if I don't know if the copy I have from my Kindle is the same as the one that I had. But I do know the one that I have right now is written exclusively in British, not American. And so that would be why a teenage weird did not understand it. And I'm reading it now, and it's fucking awesome. I love John Gardner's James Bond books.
Nice.
All right, then.
I'm also reading a book on how to make my butt bigger. But that's nonfiction.
Oh, Roadkill, you're reading fucking Alan Dean Foster. Throw that shit in the trash. Fucking hate Alan Dean Foster.
Don't yell at him.
I just got through reading a really good book.
It's what called was it?
Year Zero. And it's by a guy named, I think it was Rob Reed. But it involves copyright law, which it's a science fiction book about copyright law. Well, it turns out that there's this gigantic alien civilization, intergalactic alien civilization out there that's really good at everything except music, and they're horrible at music. And it turns out that humans really suck at everything except music, and they're really good at music. So these aliens from like the early 70s discover Earth music, and they've been listening to it and copying it, you know, and billions and billions of copies. Well, it turns out that there's this law that says that the local, whatever the law is locally for that culture has to be respected. And the aliens discover that they owe basically the entire gross domestic product of the entire universe is owed to Earth in fines for illegal copying of music. So in order to stop it, they've decided they're going to blow up the Earth so they don't owe the money.
Oh, no. Oh, my God.
Yeah. It's pretty funny.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's like
so what happens?
Well, you'll have to read the book and find out. I'm not going to spoil it.
Damn it.
Man. That sounds like some straight-up Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
It is similar to that, but not British. Hmm. It's American. And the main character is a lawyer that works for one of these, you know, intellectual property law firms whose name is Nick Carter, and the aliens show up thinking he's one of the Backstreet Boys. And he's like, no, I'm not. And then they're all like disappointed.
Where did you find this book?
It's a book. I find things.
That's funny.
Now we're really over. Turned into book club. Maybe we should do like the show and then have like the book club after the show.
We could do that.
Yep. I like books, and I read a whole lot more now that I've got a Kindle and I can read it on the train.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I can bring a bunch of books with
me. E-books are awesome.
Oh God, I got the new Paperwhite. Oh
yeah,
my wife bought it for me. My old Kindle was showing its age but still working well. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not, you know, really. I do want one, but not just yet. And she got a pre-Black Friday sale and bought it. And I'm like, oh, yeah, no, this is awesome. Because now, like, when I know the baby's going to wake up in the next, like, 20 minutes, I'll just lay in bed and read it with the light on. It's got a front light.
Oh, nice.
That's really, really nice. And I can read it without waking my wife up and wait for the baby to go,
snort.
Your call is important to us. It will be answered in the order it was received. All operators are currently busy.
You need to post more pictures, by the way.
Yes, you do.
I need to take more pictures.
Yes.
Any pictures of her. I just squish her.
And video of the snorting.
Yeah, please. We want the snorting.
Yeah, that'll be a little tougher because she's got to be pretty pissed off to do it of the appropriate levels. I mean, you're like, if you pick her up when she's like half asleep, she'll snort a little bit. But like, that's not like the real McCoy.
Well, you can do it, I'm sure.
Okay. Don't antagonize the baby just for us, though.
Yes, do it just for us.
No, we gotta antagonize her all the time. I mean, you know, just, you know, stuff like changing her diaper, or giving her medicine, or
oh, God forbid,
sucking boogers out of her nose.
You know, do you have one of those things, the bulb?
No, he does it with his mouth.
We've got one where you can do where it is a mouth powered one.
Oh my God!
It's a long straw with a filter in it that you stick up the baby's nose and suck.
But
we've got a bulb that works really, really well. I sucked a monster out of her nose last night. I mean, that thing should be on a plaque on my wall.
Oh my gosh.
It was a huge booger. She was like having all sorts of trouble breathing and all snorty and
I can't believe you're not taking pictures of these things. And,
oh, well, I mean, I did it in the dark though, because I didn't want to, like, she was trying to sleep and all of that. So yeah. Some of that was a little bit spoiled.
Yeah. Mrs. Weir
told me that it was like all over her face the next morning.
Oh God. Oh,
so I missed some of it because it was dark. But she slept like she fell right asleep. It was awesome.
I bet she did.
Well, she slept for a little while. Then she had a nightmare and she needed snuggles. So we watched Coneheads together.
She probably had a nightmare about you sucking her brain out through her nose.
Yes.
Nah. Well, maybe. I don't know. But Coneheads made it better. That's a fucking funny movie.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, man.
I've forgotten how funny that was. I was laughing my ass off last night.
What's her name?
Aykroyd and...
And,
yeah, what's her name?
Yeah.
She was really good in The Heat as well.
Shoot, what was her name? You know who I'm talking about.
I can't remember, yeah.
The chick from Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, no, I was watching The Heat, and I'm like, who the hell is that? She looks so familiar. Oh, yeah, she's Primack from Coneheads.
Jane Curtin.
Yes. So funny. Does a really good Boston accent. Really good Boston accent. That's a hard thing to do. Most people fuck it up.
Yeah.
Well, it is feeding time at the zoo here.
Yep.
So I have to go.
We're 18 minutes over time. I apologize, people. You will be billed extra for the amount we're over.
And, that's right. That's right. And because of this, next week we'll have less hog. Yeah, sorry. Well,
maybe.
There was lots of
extra hog. Oh, there'll be lots of hog.
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week.
Okay, yep. Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Bye.